Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies, a short series, which we are going to entitle An In-Depth Study of the Threefold Offices of Christ. And of course, we mean his offices in his service to us as prophet, priest, and king. Now, the name Christ, Christos in the Greek, means anointed. He was the anointed one. Peter speaks of him in the 10th chapter of Acts as the anointed one of God. And it's interesting to note that only three people in the Old Testament were indeed anointed before they entered their service for the Lord. And they were the prophets, the priests, and the king. And I think we would do well to just read briefly some of these points out of the scriptures so that we won't have to narrate them. You'll get them straight from the scriptures. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 19, and verse 16, rather, Jehu, the son of Nimshi, now these are instructions, shall I say, that were given to Elijah the prophet. And Elijah the prophet was told, Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now here is Elijah anointing Elisha to be prophet in his room. They had a very, very close companionship, a very, very wonderful series of experiences together as prophets. And this was about 10 years before the translation of Elijah. But he was anointed, Elisha was anointed as a prophet. Now, in Leviticus chapter 8, and verses 10 and 12, when Moses was setting up the tabernacle, God instructed him with these words, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. Now verse 12, and he poured the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Now here we have a priest being anointed. Now in the matter of the king being anointed, we have to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel is sent there to find a king from the sons of Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons. And Saul had failed. He had disobeyed the Lord as king, and the Lord rejected him. And he told Samuel, take your horn of oil, go to Jesse, and you will find a king for me among his sons. So, indeed, Samuel did exactly as he was told. He went to the house of Jesse and told him why he was there. And he says, I want all your sons to pass before me. Shaphat, the first son, passed before him, and Samuel said to himself, oh, this has to be the king. He was a handsome man, a strong man. And the Lord said, no, I've rejected him. Look not on the outward appearance, but look on the heart. God looks on the heart. Now, 7 sons were there, and they all passed by Samuel, in front of Samuel, and the Lord told him, none of these are acceptable. And Samuel, out of process of elimination, said, are all your sons here? Jesse said, no, the youngest is with the sheep. That was David. And he says, call him. By process of elimination, Samuel knew that that was to be the future king of Israel. So David was called, and he was brought into the presence of his brethren, and we read there, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now here we have the three of these servants of the Lord serving the people of God, rather, the prophet, the priest, and the king, and they were all anointed. Now Christ is the anointed one in the New Testament. And we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this is incidentally in Peter's address to Cornelius of Caesarea. And he tells him there, in speaking about Jesus, telling these Gentile people about the Lord Jesus, in chapter 10, in verse 38, we read there, Peter speaking, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now here we have the Lord anointed, Peter referring to the fact that the Holy Spirit, when he came down and rested upon Peter, that was considered an anointing, not with an oil, but with the Holy Spirit of God. He was pointed out. Now, I may say the anointing pointed out to the children of Israel who these people were and their offices, prophet, priest, and king. God pointed out Christ as the anointed, as prophet, priest, and king, by the descent of the Holy Spirit of God upon him. Now, pardon me. Let's talk about the duties of a prophet. The duties of a prophet were both to foretell and to foretell, we want them in that order, to foretell the mind of God, and then to foretell as regards the future. Their duties were twofold. That was to bring before Israel the message of God, and then in turn to tell the children of Israel what would happen if the children of Israel did not obey that message. And so many times, prophecy in the Old Testament is of that nature of judgment. Now, sometimes later, especially in the book of Isaiah, prophecy was for their blessing in future times after the judgment of the nation during all these centuries before Christ comes to reign as king. Now, here we have in this 10th chapter of Acts, Christ anointed. Now, let's go to the fact that he, the prophet, had to foretell, had to speak to the people. And I'm reading now from Isaiah 58 and 1. The Lord's instruction to Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now that was the duty of a prophet. It was not a pleasant duty. Many of the prophets of Israel were slain. They didn't like their message. Now, the false prophets came along with their message, which was lies. For instance, when they were told that they would be carried away from Babylon, they didn't believe Jeremiah that persecuted him. The false prophet says, no, the children of Israel that had been deported to Babylon are coming back. They were false prophets. But now, we are told here very plainly, Isaiah is told, bring before them their sin. So these are the duties of a prophet. And we read in John chapter 4, verse 19, the Lord Jesus Christ there fulfilling this ministry. Now in the fourth chapter of the book of John, the Lord is talking to a Samaritan woman. And he tells her that he wants a drink of water, first of all. Perhaps you'll remember the story. She gave it to him. She was surprised that he would ask her, a Samaritan, he being a Jew, for a drink of water. And then he said, if thou knewest the gift of God, thou would have asked of him of living water, and he would have given thee living water. Now, here he is, and he's talking to this woman, and this woman was a high liver. We'll see it in the text. He says there in the fourth chapter of John, verses 18 and 19, thou hast had five husbands. She wanted the water. He says, go call your husband. She wanted the blessing, but the Lord says, now there's a little matter first we've got to take care of. Call your husband. She says, I have no husband. And he says, correct, thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She knew immediately she was standing in the presence of a prophet. And she acknowledges her sin. And incidentally, The story is a lovely story. She came to know the Lord. She took him as Savior, and she brought a lot of other people to the Lord, and they too took him as their Lord. He had to point out her sin. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, as a prophet, did that constantly in his earthly ministry, and they did not like it. But he has to point out their sin to show them their need of himself. And the Lord Jesus on one occasion said to the multitude that was gathered around, "It cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." Jerusalem was the place where they killed the prophets. And that was a prophetic statement on the part of the Lord that he would die just outside the gates of Jerusalem on a cross, dying for your sins and for my sins. Now, he died as a prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ exercised his prophetic ministry in his time here on earth. He exercises his priestly ministry right now in heaven, and with the church particularly. And then he will exercise his ministry as king in the coming day when he sets up his kingdom. Now, let's go back to the fact that he indeed foretold his own death. It cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Let's see what he does as a prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses there predicts the fact, and we're going to talk about the Lord's office as a prophet, as predicted by Moses, stated by the Samaritan woman, stated by the Lord, demonstrated to sinners, and to Simon particularly, and known as a prophet by Cleopas and by the multitude. All right, now, we're going to have to move quickly. Moses said, "A prophet like unto me shall the Lord raise up unto you. Him shall ye hear." And he warned them if they would not hear that prophet, they would perish. Now, Christ was that prophet. He was predicted by Moses. Now, we've already considered it from the Samaritan woman that she owned him as a prophet. Now, the Lord himself stated that he was a prophet in his own hometown. He said, "It cannot be that a prophet perish, be accepted in his own country." And the Lord stated himself as prophet. Now, he was owned by prophet by the two on the road to Emmaus. After the Lord had risen, he saw them walking there, and he said, "Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people?" They all owned him as a prophet. The multitude owned him as a prophet. He was a prophet indeed. He brought before people their sin, and then he died for their sins. The Lord has that, exercises that ministry to you and me today. He points out our sin, and then he tells us, "I died for your sins." Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will increase our appreciation of the service of the Lord to us as prophets, as a prophet. In Christ's name, amen.